Father, we come before you and would ask that you would help us to be grateful for all that you have done for us. And just as the puppet ministry reminded us, you don't need us. You don't need us to do anything. But it's a privilege to be able to be used of you. And we're gathered together in this building to be reminded that we are your children. Or if we're not, we can become your children. And that once we become your children, we have the privilege of taking the good news, the message of the gospel to others, so that when they're in the valleys, they can find the hope, they can find the hand to hang on to lead them through for your honor and glory. Speak to us through your word, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Robert Frost said, in three words, I can sum up everything I've learned about life. What are those three words? It goes on. You ever been in a spot where it seemed that your world stopped for a moment, but the world kept moving? A lot of years ago, I walked into the hospital room to one of my mentors, and I had just walked in the door, and his youngest son said, Dad just died. And he was more than just a mentor. He took me under his wings, and anything that I am theologically probably goes back to him. But I walked out of that hospital, and cars zooming by, zoom, 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 and I'm thinking, my world just stopped for a moment, and the world's going on. When Judy walked in this morning, I just mentioned to her how she was doing. If you haven't heard that her mom, Edna, passed last night, and she said, it's just like I'm in a daze. We've been there, haven't we? And those times in our life where our worlds have stopped and we don't understand, and yet it's going on. And we also know that we must go on. Life goes on. Life's not easy. There are situations and trials and difficulties. And we've been learning through the book of Esther that through all of this, God is working, and we have to trust him. And in it and through it, we are to be drawn to him. Because there's something in the midst of it all that we're supposed to learn. We've been ministered to a lot in music already, and I'm going to minister to you again in music. Don't leave, I'm not singing. But this song, I think, helps us to get the picture as well. It's a country western song. The graphics are very poor here, but they help bring the message, so just listen. Yeah, I know you're wondering, can a country western song minister in church? That may not be the Christian message, but there's a message there. No, you don't need to have another round to celebrate, but life goes on. Life has never, ever been easy. But too many of us, and the sad thing is too many believers don't grasp this. And the moment they're going through trials and tribulation, they don't know what to do, and they'll come to God and they'll expect him to do miracles, and oftentimes he does, and then they just go right back and they forget about it all. I'd like you to go back with me to the book of Esther. We've been working our way through this book, and we're going to close it out today, believe it or not. But Esther 10 is a very short chapter. And if you've forgotten what we've covered so far, the Jews are celebrating. I mean, they were going to be annihilated because of what Haman did and the law that was passed. And then Esther went to the king and bared her soul, and Haman then is executed, and the Jews are able to write a new law, and they're able to protect themselves, and they have been able to do that. Their enemies are dead. It's time to celebrate, and they did. And they did celebrate all over. In fact, they added to their calendar an annual feast, never to forget. And then we read chapter 10. And King Ahasuerus imposed tribute on the land and on the islands of the sea. Now all the acts of his power and his might and the account of his greatness of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, and are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of the Medes and the Persians? Mordecai the Jew was second to King Ahasuerus and was great among the Jews and well received by the multitude of the brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen. You remember how this book started? King Ahasuerus is throwing this huge party. He is flaunting his wealth. He's flaunting his power. He's got all of his officials and his best men around him, and they're celebrating who he is and what he's accomplished. And they're drinking and having a grand old time, and he's going to bring out his wife, his trophy wife. He's got several wives. He's going to bring out his trophy wife to show to everyone his power, his might, his success. How does it end? King Ahasuerus is still king. And he's imposing tax upon the people that he can continue to be the great and powerful and the mighty King Ahasuerus. Find it interesting. Life just goes on and on and on and on. Sometimes things never change. The wisest king ever, King Solomon, kind of reminds us of that in his book Ecclesiastes. He says, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before. There's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the things that are to come by those who will come after. Exciting news. Life goes on, nothing new. He says in chapter 3, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice, to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift from God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it, that men should fear him. That which has already been, and that which is already, what is to be, let me get read again. That which has already been, and what is to be, has already been. Solomon is kind of discouraging. Well, back in chapter 10. After the victory and all of this, and the dust has settled, and Ahasuerus is looking at his books, and he says, you know, I just lost over 75,000 tax-paying men. You remember what happened? Queen Esther and Mordecai wrote a law to where the Jews could protect themselves against those that were going to attack them. And those that attacked them, the Jews then killed men only. From what we read, they didn't kill the women or the children. Though that's what the others were going to do to the Jews. They were going to annihilate them, kids and everything. But Ahasuerus is saying, we've lost 75,000 tax-paying men. How are we going to recover this? I know what we'll do. We'll just impose more tax on the people. Aren't you glad things have changed? You got a government that just spend happy and needs more, and all they can think about is, well, let's just raise the taxes. So King Ahasuerus raised the taxes. It says tribute there, but it really means, I think I got it up here. The institution of tribute involves involuntary, unpaid labor for a superior power. So here the Jews are. They are celebrating a victory, but they thought they were going to be annihilated. And now they're being taxed to the point where it's almost like back in Egypt, isn't it? And so you have to scratch your head and say, why in the world would this great book end the way that it does? Well, can I remind you that when we started this book, I questioned why these people were still here. King Cyrus, if you remember way back in Jeremiah's time, that wasn't that long ago when we were studying the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was the prophet to these people, and he said, look, you better get rid of your idols. You better put God first in your life, or he's going to bring the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and he's going to take you into captivity. And they said, nah, 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 nah. So what did God do? He raised up the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and he took them captive. And people went back into Babylon as slaves. Daniel and his friends were those individuals gone. But after the 70 years of captivity, King Cyrus, a pagan king, comes to the forefront. And he says, you Jews, you're free. Go back to Jerusalem. Go back to your homeland. Go back to the land that God has given to you and rebuild everything there. Now, I understand that there were probably some that were just way too old to make this trip. I can understand that, why they would stay behind. There may have been those that were sick or going through some situations that would just hinder them from making such a trip. I understand that. But there were a lot of folks that had gotten comfortable living in a foreign land that they didn't want to leave. I mean, to close the doors and leave and just go? Go back to a land that has been devastated? Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the place. In fact, we learn from the book of Nehemiah that he did such a good job that when Nehemiah comes back, almost 100 years later, after Cyrus said they could go back, and he's just going around the city looking at the walls and saying, wow, Nebuchadnezzar did a pretty good job. And so there's Jews saying, why would we want to go back to that? We got a job. The bills are getting paid. Everybody's comfortable. Why would we want to give this up and go back to Jerusalem? So they stayed. They stayed. Well, they stayed. And King Ahasuerus becomes king. And Haman comes on the scene. And they're about to be annihilated. I wonder if maybe God's speaking in any of this. And so they realize, what are we going to do? We're going to be annihilated. I mean, in the 12th month, Haman has got permission from the king to come in here and slaughter us all. What are we going to do? Well, maybe we ought to spend a little time with Jesus. And so they had this little revival thing. And they spent time fasting and sackcloth, and I gave them the credit of praying. Doesn't say they prayed, but I'm giving them the credit that they probably did. And what happens? God comes to the rescue. And Mordecai is lifted up. He's remembered for saving the king's life. And he's brought up into power. And Haman is eliminated. And a new law is passed. And the Jews are able to protect themselves. It looks like life just got right back to the same old, doesn't it? And so Ahasuerus passes a tax. It makes me wonder when they're going to learn. So what have we learned? Well, in the book of Esther, we've learned about the threat of annihilation. We've learned about the victory over the enemies and the celebration. And now we're learning about taxes and forced labor. These Jews shouldn't even be there. They should be back in their homeland, the promised land, the land that God has given them. But they're too comfortable where they are, enjoying life as it is. Yes, it's tough, but it sure beats leaving it all and stepping out by faith. Life goes on. So all of this brings me to a point where I ask a lot of questions. Questions that maybe you should ask. Because I'm wondering, what does God have to do to get his people to understand that they need to follow him, obey him, and please him, and glorify him in all that they do? Because these folks don't seem to get it. They don't. Am I any better? Are we loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind? This is a question we need to ask ourselves. That's what we're told to do. First commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Strength. Am I? Are we? Are we honoring him with our gifts and our talents and our wealth? Or is it all about me and my life and my dreams and my hopes and my desires and my wishes? And questions we have to ask. Do we have a servant's heart? Are we quick to say, here am I, Lord, use me, send me. How can I be a part? There's a world out there that needs the gospel. It's in my own neighborhood. It's in my own valley. My own county, my own state, my own country. The world needs the gospel. How can we help? Lord, where would you have us to be a part of all of this? Are others more important than me? Is my wife more important than me? Is your husband more important than you? Are your children more important than you? Children, are your parents more important than you? Questions we need to ask. Does my marriage glorify God? My role as a husband? Your role as a wife? Are we raising our children in such a way that they learn to grow and to follow God's instructions? They desire to love him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. They're willing to use their gifts and their talents and their wealth for the gospel. Are we raising them to have servants' hearts? Are we raising them to where they place others before themselves? Are we raising them to where they will honor God with their role in marriage? Do we live a life of integrity? Are who we are right now, sitting in this building side by side, the same people we will be tomorrow at the workforce or in school or wherever we are? Questions. Where we are today is no accident. This is just another quote. Where we are today is no accident. God is using the situation you are in right now to shape and to prepare you for the place he wants to bring you into tomorrow. Trust him and his plan, even if you don't understand it. I wish the book didn't end like this. They're shooting skeet outside. I wish the book didn't end like this. Because it doesn't appear anything changed in the lives of the Jews. God came to their rescue, and it's right back to the same old, same old. I hope Judy doesn't mind me sharing this. She was getting ready to go out to eat last night, her and David, and Edna said, go have fun. Her last words. And she died shortly after that. Her book's been closed. One day your book's going to close. One day my book's going to close. And people are going to sift through the pages. They're going to see those mountain peaks where you were doing well and serving God. And they're going to remember those valleys. But when they read the last section, what will it say? They just continued on and on and on without trying to put God first and foremost in their life. How will our book end? How will your book end? You see, it gets so easy just to go on with life. Boom. It just, life dishes it out, and we just keep going and keep rolling with it. And God may be trying to get our attention. He may be trying to direct us in one way, but we just so focused on getting through life, just doing everything. Got to pay the bills, got to feed the kids, got to. You're here for one reason. There's only one reason you're here. And that's to bring glory to your Creator, your Savior, your Judge. Don't let your book close like the book of Esther. Would you pray with me? All heads bowed and all eyes closed. Just talk to God, will you? Each of you individually. You know where you are. You know what God's been trying to do and is doing in your life. Everything's for a purpose. Maybe he's speaking to you. Maybe he's trying to get your attention. Maybe he's been hollering at you. And he's waiting for you to respond. It's your turn now. The ball's in your court. Most of what Scripture tells us is my responsibility. I can say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And he says, you're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to be forgiving. He says, be forgiving as Christ has forgiven you. Lord, help me to be loving. You are to love because you know me. I am love. So much of what's supposed to happen in our lives is supposed to be my effort. By his grace, by his strength, by his power and his might, we overcome these things. But we've got to take the first step. We've got to show him that we mean business. And so I would just ask you to speak to him right where you are. Father, you know where we are. Each of us, you know where we are. And it may be that you've been trying to tug on our hearts, speak to us, bring us to that point where we would surrender to you. And maybe some of us are there this morning. That you would listen to us. And in our weakness, help us. May we become the men and women that you'd have us to become. May Central be more than just a building where people meet and sing songs and listen to a man speak. May this be a place where we meet you, where we talk to you, where we seek you and your wisdom and your guidance and your direction for life, to where we gain those things that help us to be the husbands and the wives and the parents and the children and the employees and the employers that we need to be in this world that people can see you. Oh, Father, I pray that our book will not close like the book of Esther, that it will close like the Apostle Paul's last book closed, where we have fought the good fight. We have run the race. We have completed the course. Help us. And Father, if there be anyone here that would like to talk with me later, or I would be glad to talk with them, pray with them, encourage each other. May all of us be willing to do that to one another. And may we become all that you'd have us to become, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.